ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد نجينا بني إسرائيل من العذاب المهين من فرعون إنه كان عاليا من المسرفين. صدق الله العظيم. My most honorable, respected brothers and elders, and of course our mothers and sisters listening at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy and kindness and His love for us, that He has blessed us with Mubarak days again. The days of Muharram are indeed very sacred. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is regarded as Shahrullah, the month of Allah. This nisbat, connection, is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every month belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's a special connection with Muharram to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ الصِّيَامِ بَعْدَ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ الْمُحَرَّمِ. The most sacred of fasts after the month of Ramadan are the fasts and rozas kept in the month of Muharram, which is known as the month of Allah. Like how we have the book of Allah, Kitabullah, Nabiullah, the Nabi of Allah, Habibullah, the beloved of Allah, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, Baytullah, the house of Allah, Rijalullah, the men of Allah, Waliullah, the friend of Allah. Like that, Shahrullah, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Muharram has gained its significance and importance not recently, not just in the time of the Sahaba after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but long before. The previous nations also, we find that they would keep roza on the 10th of Muharram, many of them, many of the religions of the past, like the Yahud. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he had come to Madinah Munawwara, and after some time, it was brought to his attention that the Yahud are keeping roza, they are observing fast on the 10th of Muharram. The word Ashura, from Ashir, Ashara, which means 10. So the 10th of Muharram, therefore Ashura, Yawmu Ashura, refers to the 10th of Muharram. So Rasulullah inquired of them, why are you fasting? So they said, this was the day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala najjallahu fihi Musa wa bani Israel min Fir'aun. It was the day when Allah ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salatu salam and bani Israel from the clutches of Fir'aun, from the tyrant ruler Fir'aun. And in other riwayat, it was the same day when Nuh alayhi salatu salam and his followers, the believers, were saved from the floods, and their ship had settled down on Mount Judi. So Allah Ta'ala had saved Nuh alayhi salatu salam and his people from the floods and from getting drowned. So Nuh alayhi salatu salam and Musa alayhi salatu salam, in their respective times, they observed a fast on this day, shukran lahu, out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala was so kind and Allah showered His special favors upon them. Musa alayhi salatu salam and Bani Israel are safe from Fir'aun, and Nuh alayhi salatu salam and his people were safe from drowning. And the ark settled down on Mount Judi. The rest of his people who were disbelievers, they were drowned. And Nuh alayhi salatu salam repeatedly, desperately, he tried calling them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 950 years of effort. 950 years calling towards Allah. Ulama and historians have written plus minus only 83 people accepted Islam and Iman in his hands. What a great effort he made. He worked day and night. Layla wa nahara. Day and night. And each time he called his people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Wallah, they are running far away from me. They have thrust their fingers into their ears and they have covered themselves with shawls. And they're turning away from this invitation towards your oneness and believing in you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after Nuh alayhi salatu salam, made a great effort. And when he reached a point of frustration, he could not take it any longer. Then Allah ta'ala tells him now that build an ark. And we know the entire story. Where people began to mock at him. As they passed by, what are you doing? He said, I'm building an ark. You're building an ark on dry land. There's no sea here. We've got no water. So they began to mock at him. In تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُوا مِنْكُمْ فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam tells us, those people who are mocking at him, the disbelievers, that if you are mocking at me, one day we will mock at you as well. And this lesson we see in our lives, that at times we mock at people, we belittle them, we denigrate them, humiliate them, we laugh at them, we scoff at them, poke fun at them, whether it's in the school or university or in offices or at home or family. But then there comes the day when the same person then laughs at us. We pick at faults of people rather than looking at our own weaknesses and our own faults. But then there comes that one day when the same people will ask and laugh at us. So the lesson here is Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam had placed his trust on the words of Allah, on the promise of Allah. And he said, فَسُوفَ تَعْلَمُونَ Soon you will see upon whom our azab comes. And we know the incident when the floods came. Then the ovens even, water started gushing out from the ovens and from beneath the earth, from above the skies. And people were drowning. And Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam spots his son Kin'an, who had not accepted Iman. And he pleads to his son that embrace Iman, believe in Allah, and come over to my side, because he found his son aloof. وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلٍ يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَمْ مَعَنَا Come join us. Come aboard the ship. But he said, قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ I will take refuge on the top of a mountain, and I'll be saved. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam said, لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِيمٌ There's no other protector besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only upon whom Allah has mercy. That is the only person who can be protected. Our reliance must only be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only Allah who protects. And we find that while the father and son, this conversation is going on, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam has this filial love for his child. And he turns to Allah. Ya Allah, innahu min ahlik. Allah, this is my son. Min ahli, he's from my family. Allah says, he's not from your family. Laysa min ahlik. He's not from your family. Innahu amalun ghayru salih. He has done. Quran says, innahu amalun ghayru salih. It's an action which is not righteous. In other words, he has done kufr. He's disbelieving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while they were still talking to one another, and Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is pleading to his son, suddenly we find a wave that intervenes, come between the boat, and his son is drowned. So Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was saved, he had kept roza on this day. In a similar way, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and we'll discuss the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam shortly. He also was saved, and the Bani Israel was saved from the clutches of Firaun, and therefore he kept roza. So Rasulullah said, Ana ahakku bi Musa. I am more closer to Musa. I am more deserving of keeping roza than you people. And therefore Rasulullah kept Roza. He commanded the Sahaba to keep this Roza on that Ashura day, on the 10th. And he said, لَإِن بَقِيتُ إِلَىٰ قَابِلٍ لَأَصُومَنَّ التَّاسِعُ. If I am alive the following year, then I too will keep Roza on 9th and 10th. And some riwayats say you keep 10th and 11th, there's no problem in that. In other words, you will be contrary to the Yahud in their practice. So this is a very important lesson. We try to bring about in our lives the same type of culture, same type of fashion, same type of ideas and ideologies, and we forget the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Sam shows us that we will have to be contrary to their way of life. And just on a thing like Roza, we keep on the 10th, but we join, like today was the 9th, 9th and 10th. For those who do not keep today, there's no problem. Keep on the 10th and 11th, tomorrow and Friday. The benefits of this Roza. Rasulullah said that this, said has mentioned that this Roza of Ashura, it wipes out the sin of the previous year. You know, Muharram is the first month, the new year has begun. So the entire year that has gone past, all the minor sins are forgiven. Of course, for major sins, one has to make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we ponder and reflect, after the month of Ramadan was full of barakat, then we had Shawwal fast, there again, gaining so much of blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Hajj, the first 10 days of the Hijjah, Arafat day, past year's sins forgiven, future year's sins forgiven, again Muharram, sins are forgiven. Allah is so kind. And Allah is giving us these opportunities. The 10th of Muharram will come and go by. We have to take the lessons of the 10th of Muharram and the lessons which were taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved these people. And out of gratitude they kept Roza. It was the day previously before Ramadan, Ashura fast was compulsory. In the month of Muharram they had to keep Roza. The Ashura fast, it is mentioned according to the Sahaba, كُنَّا نَسُومُهُ وَنُسَوِّمُ سِبْيَانَنَا. We should keep it and we should make our children keep this Ashura fast. To such an extent we would make some toys out of cotton for them and keep them preoccupied. So the moment they begin to cry out of hunger, we would give them these toys, so they would play with these toys until it is iftar time. Allah has given us these opportunities so that we may turn again to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many customs and practices that take place during these days which have no basis whatsoever in Shariat. Yes, on the 10th of Muharram, according to various narrations put together, it has given it much strength. The hadith of Tawassu', the hadith of Rasulullah says, مَنْ وَسَّعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَنْ وَسَّعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ يَوْمَ عَاشُورَ وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ طُولَ سَنَتِهِ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. There are various words, very similar, that have been mentioned in two or three riwayat, which simply means that person who spends, listen very carefully, because this is misconstrued, and then people begin to ask questions which have no real basis in Sharia. The hadith is very clear. That person who spends freely, who is generous upon his family. If you're the head of the family, you're the breadwinner, you're the father, you're the husband. So you are the one who is supporting your family. You are working, bring back something for them to eat, for them to wear. You're providing for them. So on the day of Ashura, that is the 10th of Muharram, whoever is a bit more generous than normal, he is making tawassu', which means he is spending freely. Now one doesn't have to become extravagant and start now borrowing, begging, and doesn't have the money. Whatever is within your means, but Sharia tells you, this hadith tells you, you be a bit more generous and you spend on your family, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be generous and Allah will give you barakat for the entire year in your provisions. So it is simple. We don't have to prepare a certain special lavish meal and which supper. Is it 9th of Muharram or 10th of Muharram? And when must we give a gift and who do we give a gift? The hadith is telling you addressing the head of the family, that you should make tawassu on your family, you spend freely, generously on your family, and Allah will be kind to you the entire year. And alhamdulillah, mashayikh, and many people have found this to be very, very effective. It is part of the experiences that they found barakah throughout the year. Now coming back to the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned throughout the Quran. Various ayat have been mentioned right from the beginning, Surah Baqarah, right through the Amma Para. Sometimes more detail is mentioned, sometimes just a few verses related to whatever Allah Ta'ala is now addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Ta'ala talks about the tyranny of Fir'aun, and that is a lesson we got to learn. That Fir'aun was a tyrant ruler. He was a very cruel ruler. Merciless. He killed thousands and thousands of children. Why? Simply because he had seen a dream that his kingdom will be taken over by a child of the Bani Israel. And we have heard the story from childhood days. The tyranny of Fir'aun, when a person has a lot of wealth and he has power, then this drives him to have a superior attitude. He thinks of others to be lower and inferior to him. Then he seems to be a dictator. He dictates to people, he commands, he orders. He does not humble himself. His heart becomes bereft and devoid of mercy. Why? Ulama have mentioned, when a person is a tyrant, he's a zalim, then the actions, his tyranny, his being an oppressor, he's oppressing people. He does not care about their worries, their concerns, their plight, their life. He's prepared to aim at them and maim them. He's prepared to kill them, butcher them to death. He doesn't care if they are driven out of the country and out of the homeland. Whether they can find some other place to seek refuge, it does not bother him. All the means he has, all the means that he possesses, all the powers and strength, he will use it against the people. And this was found in Fir'aun. He killed Bani Israel. So many of them, thousands of them. He enslaved so many of them. Women who made slaves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that this Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is born. And you know the story, he's put into this little box, and this box is put into the river, and this river comes right into the palace of Fir'aun. Allah shows that you, O Fir'aun, who think you are very great and who claim to be Allah. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, later on when he got Nubuwwat, when he went and forward on the instruction and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preach and invite Fir'aun. Again, ulama say, look at the mercy of Allah. Fir'aun is claiming to be Allah himself. Ana rabbukumul a'la. Fir'aun is an oppressor. He's a tyrant. He's got no mercy. Living a terrible life, cruel life. Allah has mercy. Even Fir'aun must get iman. I'm prepared to forgive Fir'aun also. So, oh Musa, you go. And Musa alayhi salam went with his brother Harun. But Allah shows that when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was a little child and put into this box by his mother was afraid. Allah said, لا تخافي ولا تحزني. Don't fear, don't grieve. We will send back this child to you one day. And this child is then kept by who? By the wife of Fir'aun. They had no children. And she sees this beautiful little child. And she pleads to Fir'aun, let us keep this child. Perhaps it will benefit us. And the long story short is, Musa alayhi salam grows in the palace of Fir'aun. And as he's going past one day, he sees two people fighting. One is a Bani Israel, and the other one was a Coptic. And the Coptics used to oppress the Bani Israel. So this Bani Israel shouted for help for Musa alayhi salam was going past. All he did, he intervened, he tried to stop them. فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى. Just one punch only. he punched at this Coptic who was his zalim and oppressing this Bani Israel. But it so happened, فَقَضَىٰ عَلَيْهِ, that this led to his death. It was a fatal blow. This person died. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam became extremely grieved, worried. Ya Allah, I just gave him one punch only. إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي, I have made zulm upon myself. And suddenly the word goes around, because the next day the same person is fighting, and again he tries to ask for help, and Musa alayhi salam is saying, again you are the one who is fighting. And then he breaks the news, and the room, and then the news spreads, reaches Firaun, that Musa is the one who killed this Coptic, and there's a warrant of arrest. Allah Ta'ala tells him to leave Misr, Egypt. He goes to Madian, and then he stays there for 10 years. He gets married, and as he's coming back, it's a winter night, very cold, they want some fire. He sees some fire in the distance, and as he goes closer and closer, it is the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala makes him a Nabi, and Allah Ta'ala tells him, now you go to Fir'aun and you give him da'wat. He says, oh Allah, I am unable to speak properly. He used to stutter, he used to stammer when he used to speak. So keep Harun, my brother, make him a Nabi, so he will assist me. Allah agrees, both are Nabis, but Allah commands them to go to Fir'aun and speak kindly, to speak softly. Give this da'wah, not harshly. Don't force Fir'aun. Speak to him kindly. Show him the oneness of Allah, the greatness of Allah. And when they go to Fir'aun, they give this message of da'wah. Fir'aun shows his arrogance, his pride. مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرِي. What are you talking about? I do not know any other God beside myself for you. Then who is your God if you're not worshipping me? And then they gave the da'wah, they worship Allah. And they mentioned the attributes of Allah. The one who created, the one who gave hidayat, the one who guided, the one who made the earth like a bed for us to walk on, to traverse on. And they enumerated the virtues and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun became so angry. He became enraged. And then he calls his magicians. Allah Ta'ala had given Musa alayhi salatu wasalam the stick, the staff, that when he threw it, it became a serpent. So Fir'aun brings his magicians. They are dressed in the garb of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And they come with their sticks. And they come with some strings. And a day is set for this muqabala, this contest between Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the magicians of Fir'aun. Haqq versus Batil. And this Haqq versus Batil, we experience this in our lives every single day. Or almost all the time. We know the truth, we have the truth with us. We have the Quran with us. We have the Hadith with us. We have the Shariat with us. We have scholars of Deen. And then we have on the other side Batil, falsehood. We have things, ideas, ideologies, isms. We have people who will pull us towards haram. People who will confuse us. People who are not prepared to follow haq and truth. Regarding Fir'aun and people like Fir'aun, who were tyrants, who stopped people from embracing the faith and bring iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. We made them leaders who invite towards hellfire. We see many leaders like this in the world, who invite their people to hellfire. They are tyrant rulers. They are despots, as we say. They don't care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't care about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They claim that they have authority. They have power. They do not have any compassion, any mercy for the people in the world. So the poor will remain poor. The rich become more rich. Yes, if there's some disaster, then as a front, you might find some type of aid going to those people who are in need. Like this, respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters, we have in our own lives, if we make an introspection, we search down, then we also
are guilty of oppression. How often we find people complaining about the bosses that they have not been paid the salary. They are working overtime. They are not getting any holiday. It is the day of Eid, they still have to go to work. How often we find this? Women complaining about their husbands. They're being oppressed. They're being abused. Men being oppressed by their wives. We make zulm upon ourselves. We feed and nourish the soul of ours with filth, with haram, with vice, with evil. We move away from the masjid. We move away from the teachings of Quran and Hadith. We look for loopholes. We really look for loopholes. It's a very common trend today. One person has a problem, a masala. He actually or she actually emails hundreds of muftis and ulama throughout the world. Each one looking for some way out, an easy way out. If Shariat gives you that leeway, no problem. But we seem to bend the rules. Haqq versus batil is something that we all are faced with almost every day in our life. If we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the day of reckoning and the day when we're going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will not become so heedless. We will not just follow our passions and desires. We won't behave like Fir'aun behaved. Perhaps we're not killing people, but we are hurting people. Mentally we are hurting them. Emotionally we are torturing people. By our harsh words, by our actions, abuse of language. Hadith of Rasulullah says, اتقوا الظلم فإن الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة. Beware of oppression. Don't oppress. Why? People who are oppressors, the zalimeen, they will be in darkness on the day of Qiyamah. They'll have no light on the day of Qiyamah. They'll be surrounded by darkness. And some explanation says, they will be in shadaid, in great difficulties on the day of Qiyamah. In one hadith, Qudsi, Allah says, Ya ibadi, O my beloved servants, إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي. I have made oppression haram upon myself. And I have made oppression haram upon you. فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. Don't oppress one another. اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ. Be careful of the curse of the oppressed person. The dua of the oppressed person. Why? When that oppressed person, you have taken away his rights, you have usurped his or her rights, you have no compassion in your heart, you don't care about that person. Even if it means that person has got no roof over his head, he's got no shelter, he's got no food, he's got a wife and he's got children, and now he's thrown out onto the street. The moment he turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he or she raises her hand. And even if they did not raise their hands, they make a dua, a verbal dua, or dua comes out from the heart. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. Between this dua of this oppressed person and between Allah, there is no barrier. It reaches Allah immediately, and Allah responds immediately. Allah responds immediately. Allah answers the dua of this mazloom person. One hadith says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna Allah la yumli al-zalim. Allah gives the zalim respite, Allah gives him rope. Allah allows him to continue his tyranny. He throws his weight around. He oppresses. He displays his arrogance, his pride, his haughtiness. Just like how Fir'aun displayed his pride and arrogance. Allah gives the person respite and chance. Hatta idha akhadahu. Until when Allah Ta'ala seizes this person, lam yuflithu, Allah does not let him loose. Then Allah Ta'ala punishes him on the day of Qiyamah. When Rasulullah was asked once, Or he asks the Sahaba, Manil Muflis? Who is a pauper? Who's an insolvent person? Who's a bankrupt person? Sahaba answer, just like how we would answer, Man la dirham alahu wa la mata. That person who has got no dirhams, he's got no rands, he's got no coins, he's got no goods, he's a pauper, he's a poor person. Rasulullah said, no. A real pauper in Shariat, in Islam, is that person who comes with huge amount of good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. He's got a lot of nekis, hasanat with him. He's about to enter into Jannah. He's about to get this green light to enter into Jannah. Our explanation. And suddenly somebody comes, Ya Allah, he swore me unjustly in the world. Somebody else will come, he killed me unjustly in the world. Somebody else will claim something else, Ya Allah, he usurped my right in this world. Ya Allah, he slandered me in this world. شَتَّمَ هَذَا وَقَذَفَ هَذَا وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا. Like this, many people will come and claim. Mazlumin, those who are oppressed, on the day of Qiyamah, they will come and claim their rights. So this person's good deeds, slowly and gradually will be then distributed and given to those people, the rightful owners, or those who were oppressed in whatever way. Until finally, all his good deeds come to an end. He has no more good deeds left. But still there's a line of people, people claiming their rights. So their bad deeds are now put onto his shoulders. Their bad deeds are put onto him. ثُمَّ تُرِحَ فِي النَّارِ. He's got no good deeds, he's only got bad deeds. Then he is thrown and flung into Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Oppression, oppressing people, is not something that we should be taking lightly. Yes, we talk about Fir'aun and the tyrants of this world and how cruel they are. But if you look down in our own lives, then we are also making zulam some way or the other. We are also making zulam some way or the other. There are so many hadith of zulam, oppression. There's an incident in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A sahabi by the name of Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he had some slaves and he was whipping one of his slaves. The slave had done something wrong and he began to whoop this slave. Rasulullah was going past, happens to see this, and Rasulullah says, Aba Mas'ud, oh Abu Mas'ud. He turns around, he says, it is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lallahu aqdaru alayka minka alayhim. Allah has more power over you than you have over them. You are so called throwing your weight because these are your slaves, your servants. And you are beating them up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more power and strength and more authority over you than you have over your slaves. Immediately, he apologizes and he sets this slave free. Rasulullah then says, if you do not save him, if you do not free him, لَلَفَحَتْكَ النَّارِ أَوْ لَمَسَّتْكَ النَّارِ, then you would have been scorched by the fire of Jahannam. Like this, there are other similar incidents where Rasulullah ﷺ explained to them that on the day of Qiyamah, the mizan, the scales of justice will be erected. When one sahabi comes to Rasulullah ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, I've got a problem. I've got some servants. And sometimes they disobey me. I give them some work. They do not fulfill the task. They disobey me. Sometimes they are disloyal to me. So I punish them. What will be my fate, my plight on the day of Qiyamah? The sahabi was worried, he was concerned. Then Rasulullah, in a lengthy explanation, said that if you beat them, in other words, not harshly, or you punish them according to the wrong they have done, if it is equal, then there is no problem. But if you abuse them, and if you give them punishment more than what they deserve, then on the day of Qiyamah, you will have to repay, and you have to pay them for the wrong that you have done to them. And this sahabi began to cry. So Rasulullah tells him, have you not read the Quran? وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُدْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شِيْئًا. That we will erect the scales of justice on the day of Qiyamah. And no person will be oppressed. But in the world, the person got away. Because he may have come from a royal family. May have had some contact with the government. So he got out scot-free. And the oppressed person got nothing. But on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ When the skies and the earth will be wrapped up in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will actually address the tyrants of this world. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ To who does all this kingdom belong now? لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ Only to the one Allah who is all powerful. Hadith of Bukhari, أَيْنَ الْجَبَّارُونَ أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ Where are all those tyrants? Where are all those haughty and arrogant ones? Where are they today? And therefore one hadith of Rasul says, بِئِسَ الْعَبْدُ عَبْدٌ تَخَيَّلَ وَاخْتَالَ وَنَسِيَ الْكَبِيرَ الْمُتَعَالِ Beautiful words of Rasulullah. That how evil is that person, بِئِسَ الْعَبْدُ عَبْدٌ That person who struts when he walks. He walks with pomp and show. And he is arrogant and proud. But he forgets وَنَسِيَ الْكَبِيرَ الْمُتَعَالِ That lofty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is all great and all supreme. بئس العبد عبد تجبر واعتدى ونسي الجبار الأعلى Similar meaning that how evil is that person, how wretched is that person. تجبر means he is a zalim. He oppresses people. And he goes beyond the bounds, beyond the limits. But he forgets الجبار الأعلى the true جبار, the most powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is most lofty and most high. So respected brothers and elders, we have heard the talks of Muharram every year, alhamdulillah. The lesson we got to learn now, that let us save ourselves from oppressing people. Let us humble ourselves. Let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Muharram, there is no special ibadat. Yes, the fasting we have mentioned, and spending freely on the person's family. But we make tawbah istighfar in abundance. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, it is a very auspicious day. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua, Ya Allah, I want to change my life. I don't want to be regarded as a zalim. I want to be a humble person. I want to have the quality of tawadu. I want to cleanse my heart. I want to be a good person. I do not want to be that zalim or that arrogant, proud person regarding whom Rasulullah SAW has mentioned. That person who has a speck of pride, then he shall not enter Jannat. Ulama explain that person, because he has Iman, ultimately in the end he'll go to Jannat, but he won't go into Jannat in the beginning when all the Jannatis who will enter into Jannah on the day of Qiyamah, in the beginning when the doors of Jannat will be open, and how fortunate are those droves and droves of people, Jannatis, will go into Jannat in the beginning. But this person, because of his pride, he will first go into Jahannam. And then he have to cleanse himself and purify himself in Jahannam. Allah save us. Like it is mentioned on the day of Qiyamah, يُحْشَرُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ The arrogant ones, they'll be raised on the day of Qiyamah. أَمْثَالَ الذُّرِّ فِي سُوَرِ الرِّجَالِ They'll have the form of human beings, but they'll be tiny like ants. Tiny like ants. يَخْشَاهُمُ الظُّلْ They will be covered with humiliation. يُسَاقُونَ إِلَىٰ سِجْنٍ فِي جَهَنَّمْ They will be driven to a cell in Jahannam. يُسَمَّى بَوْلَسْ And the name of this prison in Jahannam is called بَوْلَسْ And they will be given to drink pus and the blood of the people of Jahannam. May Allah Ta'ala save us. May Allah Ta'ala direct us towards His oneness, His greatness. Allah alone has the authority to have pride. وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ So we have learned the story of Nuh alayhi salatu salam, that there is no protector but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to continuously make this effort and invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fill our hearts with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cleanse our heart of all the pride, the malice, the jealousy that we have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. and enable us to become better Muslims, to change our lives. Let us not worry about what the next person says. We have to worry about getting the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, once Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala writes a letter to her, subhanallah. He says, give me some advice and let it be concise, brief. She says, salamun alaik, and she says, she greets Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, she says, salamun alaik, and she tells him about having this humility and not having pride and arrogance. Otherwise, on the day of Qiyamah, oh, she says, that person who seeks, that person who seeks the pleasure of Allah, bisakhatin nas, and he's not bothered about people becoming displeased with him. When he's obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not bother him if people are becoming displeased with him. How often we find that when we are practicing on deen, some members of the family, some friends, they will say, now why are you doing this? They will become displeased. We're not joining them in that function. It's a haram function. We don't want to intermingle. We don't want to be in those functions. We don't want to listen to music. We don't want to go where this photography is taking place. So the person is pleasing Allah and people are being displeased. So in the hadith of Rasulullah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice him from their evil. Yakfihim ma'unatan nas min sharrihim. And the contrary, that person who seeks the pleasure of people and disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ, Allah ta'ala will entrust him to those people. In other words, Allah will not assist him and Allah will not save him from their evil. Let us not bother about the rest of mankind if we are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is our goal. Allah is our maqsood. Therefore we should strive and make an effort towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We just have 2 or 3 minutes. We'll make a very short dua, inshallah. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم الله مالي غناكم عافرما مالي خطاكم عافرما لغزي جزوك در گزر فرما الله هم مجرم ہے ہم اقرار مجرم ہے چوٹے بنے گناكم عافرما الله يو غفور رحيم يو عزيز يو حكيم يا الله we have committed too many gunas in our life my Allah. Ya Allah, we are asking you on this Mubarak day of Ashura, my Allah. Ya Allah, we beg you, Ya Allah, for your forgiveness, Ya Allah. You have Raham on us, my Allah. Have your shower us with your special mercy, my Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection. Give us your marifat, my Allah. Grant us your marifat, my Allah. Lighten and brighten our hearts, my Allah. Remove from our hearts the filth that we have accumulated, my Allah. The pride, the anger, the jealousy, the malice, my Allah. Love for dunya, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us yours, my Allah. Tu hamara banja, hame tera banale. Ya Allah, we have all got hajats, Ya Allah. We've got so many needs, my Allah. Ya Allah, we've got spiritual sicknesses, my Allah. Ya Allah, we've got physical ailments, my Allah. We've got financial problems, my Allah. Social problems, domestic problems, my Allah. So many different types of problems, my Allah. The ummah is faced with, my Allah. Our brothers tonight have raised their hands. Mothers and sisters and many others listening at home, my Allah, have raised their hands, my Allah. Ya Allah, you fulfill all our needs, my Allah. Ya Qadhi al-Hajat, Ya Dafi al-Baliyat, Ya Hal al-Mushkilat, Allahumma kashif al-gham, Mufarrij al-ham, Mujib da'wati al-muttarin idha da'uk, Rahman al-Dunya wal-Akhirah wa rahimahuma, Farhamna fi hajatina kulliha bi qada'iha wa najahiha rahmatan tughrina biha an rahmati man siwak. Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhtana. Rabbana wa la tahmil alayna isran kama hamaltahu ala alladhina من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين يا الله all those who are مرحوم يا الله grant them جنة الفردوس my Allah all those who are sick and ailing give them complete شفاء ما
my Allah. Give us complete cure, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us mawt in Madina Sharif. Baril in Jannatul Baqi, my Allah. In the condition that you are most pleased with, my Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the shafaat, the intercession of Rasulullah SAW on the day of Qiyamah. The holy kothar water from his Mubarak hands, my Allah. Make all of us, my Allah, enter into Jannat without any reckoning. Ya Allah, protect us, our parents, our wives, our children, our progeny, our relatives, our musallis, our mutalliqeen, our mashayikh, our students, those upon us, Ya Allah, the ihsan is, my Allah. Ya Allah, protect all of us, my Allah, from the azab of the qabr, azab of jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Ya Allah, give us halal and tayyib rozi. Make our sustenance asan for us, my Allah. Give us barakat in our rozi, barakat in our knowledge, barakat in our businesses, barakat in our deen, barakat in our iman, barakat in our lives. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.